So tonight I wanted to talk to you guys about worship. And why are we talking about worship tonight? The reason we're talking about worship is because I believe that there's breakthrough for you on the other side of worship. The thing that broke depression in my life was beginning to worship and to praise God. And so tonight we're going to be talking about the praise part of worship. There's more to worship than just praising God, but I'm going to focus on the praising aspect. And we're going to talk about some of the Hebrew words in the Bible that actually mean praise, because there's 7 different Hebrew words that are used. And every time we see them, like in Strong's and Corn and stuff like that, they're like, yo, that's praise, you know? And I think it's a good and a faithful translation in its own way for these different words. But I think they all have more layers. And so real worship engages all of who we are. Real worship includes singing and dancing and spinning and raving and praising and revering God and giving thanks and lifting hands and blessing and kneeling and saluting, singing spontaneous songs, playing with instruments, painting on paintings, new chords, confessing his goodness, shouting, commending, and so much more. And like we talked about, that's just the praise part of worship. Also, the way that we work and what we do in school is worship to God. But like I said, tonight we're going to focus on praise. And there's 7 different Hebrew words for praise. And instead of going through all 7, we're just going to focus on one tonight. So that one word is halal. So say it with me. Halal.
Halal.
It sounds a little bit like hello. But halal in Hebrew means to praise, to boast, to dance wildly, to act madly in celebration, right? And there's all these other 6 words that mean various things, like the other stuff that I said, like saluting God, kneeling, you know, jumping, you know, playing with instruments, spontaneous songs. So have you ever seen people do that stuff? Like, why is that person jumping up and down? Why is that person kneeling? Does it even matter? Do you ever have to kneel when you pray? It is important what you choose to do when you worship. And the Bible gives you permission to do all those 27 different things, right? It gives you permission and actually commands you to, hey, you can actually sing. You can worship God through dancing madly. You can worship God through halal, to worship loudly and to praise and boast in his name. So let's look at a verse really quick. In Psalm 147, verse 1, it says, praise the Lord, for it's good to sing praises to our God. It's pleasant, and a song of praise is fitting. And what's crazy here is that if you don't know the difference between the words praise, it all just sounds like praise. You're like, praise God, he's good, and he's worth it, praise him. You know, it's just like, but there's 3 different words here, right? And the first one is halal. And so I think that this verse is actually saying, hey, halal the Lord, right? Dance wildly, act madly in celebration to the Lord. Praise him with a loud volume, right? And then the second word there, is zamar, which basically is to worship God with an instrument. And the third word there is tehillah, right? So all of them are praise, and tehillah is just singing a song in the moment, like a spontaneous song. Like even we did at the end of one of those worshiping songs, we were just talking about how there's no one on the earth like God, you know? There's no one else like him. And like that wasn't part of the words. Crystal just got that from the Holy Spirit. That was literally tehillah at its finest. But tonight we're going to be focusing on halal, because I believe that there's breakthrough for you on the other side of praise. If you would just halal the Lord, it would change everything. It's good to make music. So if we look at Psalm 147, praise the Lord, right? And sing praises to his name. If you read it with all the verses, you know, with all the different 7 words for praise, it would say madly celebrate the Lord, dance wildly before him, sing praises and play instruments for him, for it is pleasant, and a spiritual song and a hymn and an original song is fitting for his glory. Do you see how much of a difference it makes when you read the word of God and you understand halal? You understand that the Bible is commanding you and giving you permission to praise God loudly, to dance wildly in worship, and to worship with a loud volume. That's why people are yelling in this church. It's not just because God is good and it's our culture. It's because the Bible says y'all should yell. Y'all should halal in Jesus' name. So if you wondered, why does the church have a dance studio? That's why we have a dance studio. It's halal. So in Psalm 150, verse 2, praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Both of those words are actually halal. Halal God for his mighty deeds. Halal God for his greatness, right? It gives you permission and even commands you to worship God in this manner. And so I think knowing the Bible in this way gives us permission to do even more with our lives. And I know that we worship God because he's worthy. Just like we give money to God because he's worthy. And he puts it on our heart to give. But there's so much more behind worshiping God than just that he's worthy of it all. Just like there's so much more that to me giving my money than like the Bible told me to do it. That's how you like vote for the church doors to stay open, is you like give your money to it, right? But we worship God and we give because it transforms our hearts. Yeah. And that's why God is so committed to this. He like won't leave you alone. He's like, bro, you tithing, right? He's like, bro, you worshiping, right? The reason he won't like leave this alone is not just because his name is worthy of it all, right? It's actually because he knows that there's transformation for you and more of your heart opening up to him. And so it's not just about adoration. It's actually about transformation. And in 2 Corinthians 3:18, it actually talks about how when you behold God's face, when you set your face and look at him like you do in worship, that your face actually becomes and looks and begins to glow like his face. Yeah. And so the truth here tonight is if you would just halal, if you would just raise your hands, if you would just dance wildly, if you would just worship God loudly, I can't even begin to describe to you how much freedom it would bring to you. Like I said, I used to struggle with depression. I used to struggle with self-hatred and body image issues. And there was a lot of things on my journey to freedom. But I think the most important thing was actually halal. The thing that really set my heart free. Because see, I wasn't having a problem in my mind, right? I wasn't having this logical, natural problem. That wasn't why I had a problem with the way that I looked. You know, that wasn't why I thought I was fat. It wasn't about the facts or my diet, right? There was something going on in my heart. And once I opened up my heart to God, there was an exchange that happened. And so I'm totally going out of order for no reason, but we're going to go to the exchange. When you worship God, there's an exchange that happens. He exchanges your worries and your anxieties when you halal, and he exchanges that for his joy and his goodness. It's your worship for your anxiety. That exchange happens. And so if you've ever heard the verse, 1 Peter 5:7, cast your cares upon the Lord, for he cares for you, right? I'm going to read it to you out of the Passion Translation. I don't even know where that is in my notes. But it says, pour out all your worries and stress upon him and leave them there, there being the throne of God, for he always tenderly cares for you. I'll say it again, 1 Peter 5:7 in the Passion. Pour out all your worries and stress upon God and leave them there, for he always tenderly cares for you. Whatever burden it is you're carrying, whatever depression you're struggling with, there's all these 27 different ways to worship. But part of the reason God has set this up is so that he can do the exchange. Yeah. That when you halal, when you praise God, that he will take the worry and the anxiety and the stress. So I want to challenge you to be thinking, what's the lie that you've been believing? Have you been wanting more confidence? Have you been struggling with any depression? Have you been grappling with anxiety? Can you bear to give it up to God? Can you take a chance and worship, even though it's not something that you'd ordinarily do? Even though you might feel awkward and you're like, oh, what are these people going to think? Or that's not me, bro. It's just not me. I'm not feeling it. You know what I'm saying? I'm not feeling it. Tonight, I don't feel like I want to worship God, or I'm not that guy who raises my hands, right? Well, let me tell you, the most authentic thing for you to do in a time of worship is to celebrate however you celebrate. And for many of us, when we're there in the football game and we're watching the game, we're watching our team, dude, we're amped. We're like jumping up and down. We're like raising our hands. You might paint your face. You might do all this stuff. If that's what celebration looks like for you, I think church ought to look at least a little something like that. You know what I'm saying? I remember God even convicted me. For me, it was actually with video games. But I was celebrating during all these video games and these competitions. And I felt like God convicted me. He's just like, you know, you've never worshiped me that way. I was reading this book by this guy named Kevin Eidelman. Let's go with Kyle. This Eidelman dude. And he was saying, spitting some truth, and it convicted me. And I was like, wow, I've never worshiped God that way. I've never really painted my face for Jesus. Maybe for like a harvest fest or something like that. But you know, like I used to do it in sports, you know, we just did it with the homies. And so that's what's really authentic. Sometimes we just say, hey, it's not me to worship. I'm just not like that. But you should celebrate however you celebrate. You don't have to worship and celebrate as loud as I celebrate, right? But you do have to celebrate however you celebrate. So can you give it up to God? Because there's breakthrough and there's freedom from the depression on the other side.
That's right.
And so what I want to point to really quick before we end here is the story of David in 1 Samuel 16. We actually see that David was halal, right? He was halal-ing, and he was praising God. And he actually, we're not going to read the whole story, but he becomes famous in the land. Not because he was so loud, but he becomes famous in the land because of the transformation in his life and the transformation in other people's lives. So much so that random people in the king's court say, "Hey, Saul, we heard about this dude." And when he praises the Lord, it's like nothing you've seen, right? People like around him, they become transformed. They become healed from different things and they get set free. Clearly, these people knew that people were receiving miracles and receiving freedom from demonic spirits, which I don't know if you guys knew this, but there was no real casting out demons until Jesus and the Holy Spirit came out on the scene. It wasn't really like, hey, we got to get the old, like, you know, Levitical priest and cast out a demon, dude. I mean, they would burn some sage and stuff, but who knows what's going to happen? You know what I'm saying? That stuff didn't happen very much in the Old Testament. That's why people were so shocked when Jesus would just be like, come out of him. And then the demons would bend. But they do bend, and the spirit of oppression breaks in worship. And so as David was worshiping, he became famous because his worship would bring freedom. Yeah. And what I want to show you here is in 1 Samuel 16:23, when David plays the lyre, the spirit of heaviness leaves Saul. Like I was talking about, there's this exchange that happens. But imagine how much greater of an exchange that Saul would have had if he had the demonic oppression break off of his life without a single person praying for him. And he didn't even worship God. How much more breakthrough would Saul have received if he himself had chosen, I'm going to halal. I am going to sing right now with my own mouth and I am going to worship God. How much more freedom would that have brought to his soul and maybe for the demon not coming back? I think there were some pride issues that Saul was going through and some fear that made it where it was hard for him to even want to worship God. And we actually see later on in Saul's story that he tries to talk to Samuel because he's ashamed to talk to God. And dude, he even tries to talk to Samuel after he's dead because he's still ashamed to talk to God. But if Saul had used his own mouth instead of just being around someone who's anointed, right? Remember when Crystal was praying? People can get healed just through being around someone filled with the Holy Spirit worshiping. But what if Saul had worshiped? What if he had done it with his own mouth? And so the truth for you tonight is that on the other side of your halal, there is breakthrough. We've been asking God and praying, God, just set me free from depression. We're just waiting for this deliverance. And sometimes I feel like the Lord just lovingly says, halal, dude, are you praising me? Yes. Are you worshiping me? Because that's the key to freedom. It's not like he's holding this carrot on a stick. It's like it transforms our character and our lives, right? David was not afraid of anything because he was a worshiper. He halaled more than anybody, right? And that's why he was so fearless. Right? It wasn't just the Holy Spirit coming on him in a moment. It was a lifetime of worship up to that. I mean, could you imagine being in the fields for 12 hours a day and this dude had like no friends and wasn't in school and no internet and no Instagram? Dude, all he could do was sing stuff to God all day and pray. What's he gonna do? He probably talked to the sheep. I'm not even kidding you. He probably did. And so what I want to leave you guys with is there's a verse that you've probably all heard before. It's Psalm 34, verse 7. It says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. But I want it to hit you in a different way tonight. I think we often think, hey, if I delight myself in God, then I'm going to get into that college. If I delight myself in God, then he's going to help take care of my destiny, and I'm going to get there. But if you delight yourself in the Lord, if you halal and worship the Lord, then he will give you the desires of your heart to be free. The desires of your heart to have confidence. The desires of your heart to give up those addictions. The desires of your heart to be better. The desires of your heart to overcome anxiety. So whatever it is for you, whatever habits you're struggling with, I want you to think about those things right now. And my promise for you is that there's breakthrough for you on the other side of halal. It might not happen in your first halal session, but whatever celebration looks like for you, it's so important for you to worship God that we're going to give you an opportunity every single time you're with us, right? And it's so important for you to worship God that he makes a point of it and he commands us to do it. It's not because God is waiting and needing everyone's adoration and just like because he's the greatest, he's just like, come on, guys, you know I'm worth it. You know, it's also that he loves you enough and believes that there's transformation for you on the other side of it. Yeah. Same thing with money, right? God don't need your money, but your heart needs to be transformed. Yeah. God doesn't need your worship, but you need to worship God. And he is actually worthy of it all as well. Like we ought to just worship Jesus just for worship's sake, right? That is enough. But there's breakthrough for you on the other side. So my invitation for you is to just take a leap and begin to halal. And that might be a literal leap. So I just want to move into a time of prayer, and I just wanted to minister, you know, to everyone here and just pray with you guys a second through all this, but I'm just going to release a corporate prayer first. And so, God, we just thank you so much for what you're doing in this place. We thank you for bringing transformation to our hearts. And God, we just say that we want to halal. We want to worship you with our hearts, whatever it looks like, God. Maybe it doesn't have to be painting our face like for the football games, God, but we want to celebrate authentically and give our whole hearts to you. And every single way that we engage in worship, kneeling and raising our hands and jumping, everything that we do, the new thing is letting us engage with you in another way in our hearts. And so we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.